Hello and welcome. Jai Jawan, Jai Kisan was a slogan for India coined by Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri. After the Pokhran tests in 1998, Prime Minister Vajpayee added Jai Vigyan or Hail Science to this. Now, almost two decades later, in an unprecedented protest for India, earlier this year, thousands of scientists took to the streets in 37 cities across the country, decrying the drying up of funds and scientific temper in India today. Is this a reason for concern? On one hand, scientists from India have played a commendable role in the discovery of gravitational waves and of Higgs boson. Our Mangalyaan mission succeeded on the first try. Yet, India lags badly in technological research and development. Prime Minister Modi has vowed that by 2022, India will be a major global scientific power. But is that rhetoric being backed up by action on the ground? Or, as the protesting scientists believe, is science in India facing the danger of being eclipsed by a rising wave of unscientific beliefs? We have in studio D. Raghunandan. He's a member of the Delhi Science Forum. He's one of the organizers of the March for Science. We'll have Anand Sharma joining us, recently appointed chairperson of the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Science and Technology, Environment and Forests, a post that the government and the opposition have locked horns over. From the BJP, Mr. Om Pathak. From the Congress, Pavan Khera. Professor Shiv Vishwanathan, a sociologist. Rajiv Menon, actor, scriptwriter, and an author of books on mythology. And Ravi Gupta, former director of public interface of the DRDO, the Defence Research Development Organisation. Mr. Raghunandan, I want to start with you. We've made a mark on the global map when it comes to our Mars Mangalyaan mission, right? The stereotype of an Indian abroad is somebody who excels at IT and math. So why do we need a March for Science today?
Well, despite the few shining examples we have of good science being done in this country, these are exceptions rather than the rule. The rule in India is that by and large, the university system has dried up as far as scientific research is concerned, and research institutions are starved of funds. There is very little basic research being done. And the fear is that far from India leaping to the forefront of science in the world, India is in serious danger of falling behind and being in a position 5 to 10 years down the road of being starved within this country of scientific knowledge.
You say starved, but budgetary issues have always been a problem. Is there anything specific about the times we are living in today?
A culture of research that needs to be cultivated here is not taking place. From school onwards, we are not inculcating a habit of critical thinking, and the current atmosphere that is there in the country works even more against critical thinking.
What do you mean?
So you're being asked to believe received wisdom, knowledge, things like this happened 5,000 years ago. You have no cause or reason to examine whether it happened or not. You are asked to believe that it happened and proceed on that basis.
Are you saying under this government?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, under this government, you're saying there's no space for questioning, there's no space for critical thinking. We had the first Indian Science Congress. For the first time at this conference, we saw surgery, architecture, engineering, applications, all of them that were connected to the Vedic period. What would you say in response? Science in India today now faces a fear of being overwhelmed by unscientific thought and knowledge.
I don't agree with you, Professor, on one count, that it has become so bad under this government. Not at all. But it's been happening ever since. The initial strategies that we should have put in place was to encourage children. Today we have education without skills. The spirit of inquiry is killed right from the very beginning. The fear of failure weighs so heavy on the child's mind that the children simply do not experiment.
Will
so
you
that is
to the
no,
fact
that has
that
not
the
been
science,
happening in the last 3 years.
The Indian Science Congress, for the first time, looked at papers that said that Indians were flying planes from one planet to another 7,000 years ago.
Yeah.
That we had everything is connected to the
Vedas. So why would
you
want to reject that out of hand? Why would you not explore the genuineness of it all?
At it's what cost? Because sir here is saying there aren't enough funds.
See, it's a question of earmarking funds. I remember in 1980 in the U.S. Congress, a similar thing was thrown up. And after 3 years of committee's deliberations, they came out with a very beautiful report titled A Nation at Risk. Now, what they said was that today we live in a knowledge society, and if you're not reconstructing and constructing new knowledge, then you are bound to lose that edge that you have.
So the today, new knowledge would be India's ancient past is all connected to all the advances in science and technology.
I'm saying if they said that there were vimanas and there were whatever, it's a point of inquiry. I'm not saying whether it's right or it's wrong.
Pavan Khera, where is the problem of point of inquiry? There is, of course, point of inquiry. The BJP is encouraging inquiry. They're encouraging you to question.
As long as you don't question the government, you can question everything. But the problem is, you said that there's paucity of funds. You don't mind spending crores and crores to find out whether one king 5,000 years ago took a flight to Mars. The Prime Minister of the country legitimizes all these claims by talking about cosmetic surgery on Ganesha.
No, but is this a political discussion?
May I be allowed to? May I be allowed to complete?
I just have a point
Mr.
of order.
No, let him finish.
I'll come back to you.
I'll just respond to him.
I just want to understand.
No, there is no. It's not a parliament. You can't have a point of order here.
Academic discussion.
I'll come back to you.
We have enough to be proud of. Varaha Mihira, his works in astronomy. We should be proud of that. Nyaya Vaisheshika. We should be proud of that. We have Charak. We should be proud of that. Why do we need new myths when we have actual truths? You know, myth making is an industry which helps the Nagpur school of thought. I would call it the Nagpur nursery of thought. I don't even want to call it a school of thought. The RSS. Now, myth is a fuel to that ideology. They don't want questions. They don't want scientific inquiry.
You are now allowed to respond. He's saying what you asked. It is political.
Learning of sciences and maths is without any color. It's totally apolitical. And that is the only way India can empower itself and its people. So therefore, I like to caution, there is no politics in this. Nagpur school of thought or Nagpur nursery, utterly reprehensible. It has nothing to do with academics. People take a very myopic view of things and they like to pin all their failures on one thing or the other. I don't want to go back as to what did Congress do in 70 years. How was the nation destroyed systematically? I'm not talking about that. India needs to excel academically. Our universities have to be built up.
They been built up? That's the point. You're saying they have. So where are the IITs that were promised?
So the color of the ruling
party. We also need tanks.
I can tell you that the aims that were promised have come up. The IITs really came up under the previous government. I spoke just a short while ago with Mr. Anand Sharma. I started by asking him, Mr. Sharma, you know, at the start of this year, the Prime Minister emphasized the importance of scientific research at the Indian Science Congress. He said, if we want science to deliver, we must not constrain it. And he added that by 2022, India will be among the top three countries in science and technology. In your opinion, are these words being accompanied by action on the ground?
You see, there is a bona fide nationwide concern that the government is not investing in nurturing and promoting a scientific temperament, nor there is any enhanced investment in research and development, which is important if we have to look at India becoming a leader in the field of technology and science. Earlier in this century, the previous government had taken a decision to multiply the National Institutes of Science from 1 to 5. So that was done, and that should have been further strengthened and consolidated. Along with that, the national commitment, which was 1% of the GDP to the R&D, was doubled to 2%. Now suddenly we have been hearing talks and also theses and theories which actually are in direct conflict with science and also with the technological advancement which the world is witnessing today. Our concern should be that if we fail to create adequate human resources who can connect with this new wave of technologies, which will be disruptive to begin with, we will lose out.
But Mr. Sharma, the Prime Minister talks about how science and technology can be the solution for most of India's problems, how we need to straddle and harness technology for our advantage. Is there a contradiction between what the Prime Minister says and what we're seeing on the ground in terms of policy?
Well, Prime Minister's colleagues and the leaders of the BJP and the RSS, they are coming out with mythological stories and theories that whatever the world is achieving now, India had already achieved thousands of years ago. Whether it was stem cell research, whether it was the cloning, whether it was the aeroplanes, where the fact is that we are still struggling to develop or build a passenger aircraft of our own, though we are building fighter aircraft and the helicopters in India today after decades and decades of research and effort, but we are lagging behind in many areas. But in the field of science, yes, we have potential. We have the best minds, and they should be left to do their work. If the Prime Minister is to say that from Mahabharata, that how the 100 Kauravas were born, that too before an audience of doctors and scientists, that it was because the stem cells were kept in a pot full of pure ghee or clarified butter, and those were cut into 100 pieces, and that's how they were born. Now, that actually raises serious concerns about whether we are moving in the right direction. You can't have a blind endorsement of such theories and stories and at the same time expect that we are genuinely investing in R&D and in developing new technologies. Now, already we have serious challenges when it comes to skilling of our people, training new minds and creating adequate opportunities and jobs for our young people. For a country with a median age of 24, with almost two-thirds of our population being young, we cannot afford this nonsense which we have been hearing. These people should be sent to work in their own world, which is not connected with the global scientific or ground realities of the 21st century.
All right, Mr. Sharma, you say this government is undoing what was done by the previous government. But sir, we saw a similar situation in 2010 when Indian scientists reported on the superbug in the Lancet Infectious Diseases Journal. The government then, your government, we had the health minister, Mr. Ghulam Nabi Azad, he rejected this study. He said it would hurt medical tourism in India. So is this government really any different from your government?
No, it's not. I am not aware. You see, we never promoted obscurantist thoughts. We never endorsed mythology. We believed in scientific temperament and nurturing the same. One particular report does not compare the two governments. There would have been reasons, because I am not privy to what you have just said. The then health minister would have had justified reasons to disagree with that particular report. But here we are talking of multiple things which are being done. We never had a situation where the scientific community, the doctors, the technologists were outraged because of what the government was promoting or doing.
All right, thank you, Mr. Sharma. I know you have to leave. Thanks for joining us right now. So we believed in scientific temperament, says Anand Sharma here. Mr. Gupta, Congress says when they were in power, we didn't have scientists coming out on the streets protesting, worried that science in India is being overwhelmed by this rising unscientific thought.
If you see scientific temperament going down in the country, or we are having a level being a bit low, I agree, yes, it is there. But let me say one thing. One of the reasons we can see here in this debate itself. So far there have been three speakers. Were the four speakers and three were politicians. And what we see is, rather than going into the real causes, everyone is trying to get his own political mileage. That is one
well,
of the reasons.
I will tell you why, because most of the science and educational institutions come under the government, right?
Come under the government.
And what's
but not
scary
under the politics.
Is also the fact when you had this protest, CSIR, I think, also warned its employees
these
not
are the
to attend.
These are the
so
nitty
we have to bring in politics. It
As a scientist, I would like to say, How do you build the scientific temperament? It begins when the child is a few years old. That's how the process starts. He goes to the school. What does the teacher say? Whatever I have written in the blackboard, that is the last word. So I don't think any politician is going to the school and telling them and the teacher that don't.
No, the Congress here is saying the message is coming from the top.
I don't
see,
think
because
so.
They are saying the Prime Minister, for example, addressing an audience full of doctors, presumably men of science and scientists, invokes Ganesh to talk about how plastic surgery existed in India's past and uses Karna from the Mahabharata as evidence of genetic science.
Okay.
This is what the Congress is saying. The message is coming straight from the top. So
let
you can't
not,
say it's not
let
political.
Let me not use the word Congress or BJP. I mean, again, you will be politicizing it. The Prime Minister is saying, I would say, what is wrong in it? If we have certain, okay, let me put it this way. Forget aside what Prime Minister has said. We all agree that Einstein was a great scientist. Okay. Now, his theory of relativity started with a dream. He was visualizing that I am riding on a wave. I hope everybody agrees Einstein was a purely theoretical scientist. He put down his theories, whatever he thought is right. Then there were people who verified it. When he submitted his thesis was rejected. He was snubbed aside. That is all rubbish. There is no truth in it. But then somebody picked up, verified it experimentally, and today the theory of relativity is well established. So my point is, if I as a scientist have some idea and it can be verified by experimental, at least we can take up the verification, why can't some ideas are existing? What is wrong in exploring them?
Mr. Raghunandan, would you like to respond? What is wrong in exploring this?
I'm sorry, I couldn't disagree more. This is not how science is done. That anyone just suddenly one day comes up with some idea and proclaims it, that I believe this to be true. Now all the scientists in the country should go around investigating that. When Einstein or any other scientist propounds a hypothesis, he does it on the back of an existing body of knowledge, standing on which he says the next step is likely to be this. It's not some idea that I suddenly get. Why can't we have a magnet with only one pole? I say it and then all the scientists must go around investigating whether you have a magnet with one pole or not. This is not science. Right at the outset, when you asked me to specifically comment on this government and what it meant, I hesitated somewhat because I think a tendency not to build or assiduously promote creative thinking is not something completely new. But I think what has been happening now has been wherever in universities, institutions of higher learning, there have been examples of critical thinking, student bodies, faculty engaging in critical thinking, these are precisely the institutions which are being attacked. And that worries me enormously, that precisely where critical thinking is being done and being promoted comes under attack.
Okay. One of the questions raised by this saying, if you look into all sorts of theories, then it means there's a certain amount of cash and cash is short, and at what cost will this come? Let's ask Priyanka Kushwaha. Mm-hmm. Priyanka is a research scholar and you receive a joint fellowship from CSIR and UGC.
Right.
So what are you researching?
I'm working on environmental science. And our funding is such a problem that we have to do our research according to funding ke according hame ideas arrange karna padta hai. Agar aapke paas funding nahi hai to aap wo apne ideas aap develop nahi kar sakte. Hame according to instrument, according to fund, hame apne jo bhi research ideas hain uske according hame limited rehna padta hai. To ye cheez hame bahut zyada face karni padti hai apne institute mein.
No, so when you say you have a shortage of funds, what exactly is the problem? When you're still getting funds, right? Obviously
right.
You're still
pichle
working.
Last year se hame funding nahi mili.
One whole year?
Yeah.
So how are you continuing then? Not getting, you're a student means you're getting a stipend?
Yeah, 25,000, 28,000 per month. But we are not getting properly on daily basis. Because we are getting from past 1 years, from past 2 years, students ko milta hi nahi hai fund, bilkul.
No, then how are you surviving?
Obviously, our parents' ke support se hum log abhi tak survive kar rahe hain.
And this is your case because you're working on environmental science? So is it your whole batch, or CSIR we know has had
CSIR
a shortage?
CSIR ke most of students ye aise cheezo se suffer kar rahe hain.
And so have students left? Are they staying on? Are they pursuing their projects?
Student are pursuing kar rahe apne PhD, lekin ye cheeze face kar rahe hain, kuch apne parents se support lete hain, kuch loans lete hain, but proper funding bilkul nahi mil paata.
So when you say your project depends on whether you get funding. Now when you're saying environmental science, does that mean climate change?
Yeah.
Do you think that's why you're not getting funding?
No. It's a totally an agency.
Okay.
All CSR, they're doing the in a different field. But as a koi nahi ki environmental science se kare to mujhe funding nahi mil raha hai. Jo bhi CSR se student related hai, un sabko funding ki bahut problem ho rahi hai. Not only to be restricted to the environmental science.
Okay.
Or the biological science, air quality, geoscience, geology, everybody is suffering.
So science is suffering. Mr. Parak, would you like to respond?
I'm not very sure. I don't know the details of her case. But as far as the government, see, government is a thing in continuity. Let me share that with you. I've been in the government long enough to understand how does the government function. This government, I mean, unfortunately, they brought in politics, which was really not on the agenda. But since it was brought in, and since Mr. Sharma also said this, if Congress had done such wonderful work, they wouldn't be outrightly rejected and put in the dustbin by the people. The very fact is, Congress has no right to talk about it. 70 years they ruled the country, and they messed up our system of education. Even today, look at the dropout rates. Look at the elementary education. If you don't have that, you won't have the university
education. Sir, that is fair enough. No. We can have a separate debate on that. Will you respond? Let's stick to the topic about science and rationalism in the country today. Is that being encouraged or discouraged?
No, I mean, there is no way you can discourage rationalism. No, an odd debate here, an odd debate there, and bringing in the element of intolerance and who's being intolerant and who's being tolerant, these are very frivolous debates. These are absolutely...
I'll just come to you, sir. Sheikh, this is a frivolous debate talking about tolerance, talking about intolerance. We're living in a climate where critics would point out that, you know, talking about ancient history means you're patriotic. And if you dare to question it, you're not.
Do you want a frank answer? This is not a frivolous debate. It's a boring, dismal debate. They're confusing science with science policy. Your questions lead to that kind of answer. Science is fun. It's curiosity. It's playfulness. Heaven's sakes, don't confuse investment with understanding science as a culture. The point Raghu was trying to make, and I think Mr. Pathak was making it in a different way. Don't bring in the Congress and the BJP. Hold it for 5 minutes. I think this is a deeper problem.
This debate exists because scientists came out on the street and they're not just saying that they want more funding, which has been a problem with any government.
There are several problems.
They're saying there's an atmosphere in the country today. This is what the scientists are saying.
No, I think what the scientists are saying are three things. There's a better need for understanding the problems of working scientists, especially the younger scientists.
Absolutely.
Because to a certain extent, many of the scholarships are being cut down and one has to understand and have a transparency about it. Two, I think there's a confusion of science and technology.
Yeah.
This paisa vasool model of science has to stop because to a certain extent, science has to be celebrated for itself. Third, I think you're confusing a scientific model which brings only consensus with something which is more open and plural, with a point all of them are making in a different way. So don't take some symptoms and confuse the analysis. I think there's a need for a more open picture. Fourth, myth is fun. Heaven's sakes, no government is going to appropriate myth. You can appropriate ideology, not myth. Myth is great fun and it's a source of great imaginations. And by the way, myth is rational for anyone who has studied myth clearly. It's not just a false story. So heaven's sakes, the problem here is not just that you don't understand science, you don't understand even how to tell a story.
All right, myth is fun. That's a great quote. And nobody knows that better than Rajiv Menon because he actually writes books on mythology. So Rajiv, yes, myth is fun, but is there a danger of myth overtaking over
fact? See, depends on your understanding of it. See, when you say there was aircraft flying 7,000 years ago, are you saying that they had technology to manufacture those aircraft or was technology handed over to them? See, if you go into it, are you talking about gods, extraterrestrials, superior races that gave you that technology? It's like if Ravan had the Pushpak Viman, I'm sure he didn't have an aircraft manufacturing facility because that would have been really dangerous. He would have had fighters flying all over and decimating the planet. What he would have had was an aircraft and probably tech to maintain it and a way to fly it and maybe fuel it. And if you look at it, Mahabharata, there's a lot of weapon tech they talk about, like the Brahmastra. Or there's a particular Shakti that Karan has, which he can only use once. Damn right they can only use it once, because if you give a culture that's so this thing on war, and we still are like that, if you give them tech that they can manufacture, you'll probably decimate the human race in one single war, you know? And we have the capability of doing that today.
No, but is there a thin line between mythology, myth, and fact? And is that line being blurred today?
See, I think it depends on how you look at time. If we go by our Western education and this thing, we look at time as linear. If you study the Hindu scriptures and this thing, time is cyclical. So today's science fiction could have been yesterday's history, you know, and vice versa.
Okay, let me put it this way. In a country where we have witch hunting, where we have mob lynchings, do we need a more scientific temperament? You write books on mythology. They do very well. Do you ever grapple with this question?
Yes, I do. In fact, see, I have an engineering background, so I studied to be a mechanical engineer, and somewhere down the line I started writing mythology because I was fascinated by the subject. And there is a lot of science and tech in mythology as well, because a lot of the astras they talk about, like if you look at the way the Brahmastra described, it is like a nuclear fission bomb. So, you know, where does science end and where does myth begin?
Okay, Shiv, that's interesting. He says he has a science background, right?
Yeah, he studied science. Background.
Now, again, we know that when the Mangalyaan, before, on the eve of the Mangalyaan launch, for example, we had the chief of ISRO who went to Tirupati to pray. And when asked about this, he said, look, he didn't want to leave anything to chance. This is a man, nobody can doubt that this is a man of science.
That shows a misunderstanding of science, myth and religion. Forget Mangalyaan. Let me quote Niels Bohr to you. He used to have a horseshoe in front of his room. So when people said, how can you have a horseshoe in front of the room? He said, it helps to bet both ways. Come on, don't take this science so ideologically. It's fun. Don't let politics destroy it. They're having fun at the expense of science.
And why do we need the Mangalyaan?
And second, I don't think we need, you know, recommendation certificates from each one. This is an open, plural debate in a democratic society.
You know, not only that we talk about the study of science or the development of scientific temper or development of science and technology, all of that doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in the overall context of education system in the country. It is this that needs to be attended to. It is this that needs to be set right. And you will see that science and technology by itself will flourish. You know, unless we do that, unless we deal with it wholesomely, just the study of science and technology alone is not going to solve our problem. We need arts as much, we need liberal arts, we need languages.
Yes. No, then your government, forget the Congress, we have our own critique of the Congress. The trouble is you make us work overtime on two parties. Your government has to be open to debate. Your government has to answer questions about why is it there such a tremendous crisis among research students today. Your government has to answer questions of is the Narmada debate over? Two, everyone who makes a different point from the government doesn't become anti-national. Yeah. I think there are basic points here that your government needs to answer. It's not a question of ancient science. I think that's a separate debate. And if you want a defense of that kind of science, there are better historians. Srinivas Murthy made a better defense of pluralistic science than Ramdev or Modi can. Don't confuse illiteracy in science,
sir,
just because he's a politician. No, sir. Let me finish. Because, you know, you've been holding forth for some time. I think if you're a scientist, you'd have opened up your policy to a wider debate.
That's right.
I think the Delhi Science Forum, there have always been movements in science. The KSSP, the Delhi Science Forum, we can go back to Meghnad Saha. I think these were open-ended questions of how to think about science.
Sir, the two things I like to mention.
A quick response, sir. Then I want to go across.
There's one, just a quick point. See, what happens, a free debate is a free debate in the sense there are no preconceived notions and positions that you take. No, when you take a position and then you say it's a free debate, it's not quite a free debate because it's either you or me. It's either my way or highway. When it's a free debate, you accept dissent, you accept disagreement.
Which
it is for the
Shiv
first time, sir, I must remind you.
Doing.
It is for the first time this government has put up a number of portals which are inviting suggestions from the people at large. You know, this country seems to have been appropriated by some so-called self-styled thinkers. It is not true. It is the people at large today who are going to the various portals of my government or the number of them, and they're putting the suggestions. If you were to look at the suggestions that we have received for the education reforms, sir, I must tell you, they run into millions. And the first government, you remember the first committee set up was under T.S.R. Subramaniam. and the government found that it did not quite adequately address all the issues relating to educational policy. So now under Kasturi Rangan, who is a very renowned space scientist, another committee has been set up. Now these are not people from the BJP or anything else. They are the people who are achievers, who have done the nation proud.
Pavan,
and they are the ones who are now drafting a new education policy. All that I'm saying is, this government, sir, is far more responsive, allows far greater participation than any government ever did.
Pavan?
So all those suggestions come into all the portals. What happens? What happens is, this former director of CSIR, under the chairmanship of the Science and Technology Minister, along with the membership of the director IIT Delhi, come up with a committee to find out the benefits of cow urine. And how much funds allocated? No one knows. I have applied under RTI. I am yet to get a response. Cow dung, cow urine, panch gavya. The entire committee, headed by the Science and Technology Minister and the serving director of IIT Delhi, mind you, not a retired director. Poor guy, I'm sure he was forced into it.
I would like to make
so all the portals, I agree with him, Mr. Om Pathak. When he was not in the BJP, I've known him since then. So yes, he's right. So many portals, so many suggestions, but this is where the government is spending its money. That's my objection. It's not political. I am talking like an Indian.
Mr. Pathak, you say this government is open to criticism, and a few months ago when we had a research paper that talked about linking pollution and the environment, this was a research paper was published in the reputed journal, the Geophysical Research Letters. Mr. Javadekar, who was the environment minister then, he called it unscientific. He said it was a conspiracy to defame India at a time when the prime minister was visiting America. This was a research paper put out by scientists at one of the best research centers, which is the Indian Institute of Tropical Meteorology in Pune. Right? So how would you say your government is open to questioning? If you want to refute this, why wouldn't you use scientific fact to refute it?
You see, one case that you mentioned, I don't even know the paper that you're mentioning. I don't even know the response that Mr. Javadekar gave. But the fact is, Mr. Javadekar, like anybody else here, has a right to disagree. You know, you can put across a paper, I can disagree
now. He has a right to disagree
no,
with
that
facts.
Does not mean.
Does
that
he have
does
a right to
mean.
Disagree with facts, or does he have a right to say this is anti-national, this is an attempt to defame India and India's image on the international stage?
No, I said I don't know. I'm not aware of the paper you're talking about. I'm not even aware of that.
I gave a similar example that the Congress did in 2010 to make it clear.
No, what I'm saying is that when you're having a free debate, somebody's come up, propounded an idea or a theory, somebody else is challenging that. So what's wrong with that? It's a free debate.
But you challenge it. Don't call them anti-national is what our humble submission is.
No, sir.
High and mighty in the government.
No, sir. No, sir, nobody. See, the point is.
She just gave you the example.
No.
She just gave you the example of the minister saying that this person is anti-national.
When you reduce the debate to the trivia, to bring it to that level.
Every time one questions you, you call it trivia. Now, that's another.
When it becomes abusive,
who's being abusive here?
Then it's not a debate.
Who's being abusive here?
A debate is based on facts and rationalism.
Mr. Raghunandan,
anything else
is
not a debate.
Debate today in India being based on facts and rationalism?
You keep coming back to the Indian Science Congress of that year. All these theories which were being propounded about spacecraft in ancient India and stem cell research and so on, critiques of this point of view were attacked by political leaders, by ministers in the government, using terms like these are Macaulay Putra, they are self-serving opponents of this thing. Anybody who questions ancient Indian wisdom is obviously has got an axe to grind. This is not a scientific method of inquiry. It is firstly mistaken science to put forward these ideas, and if you get somebody who refutes those ideas to then challenge his patriotism or his wisdom. In fact, there was one minister who even said all those who question ancient Indian science are not only anti-national, but he said basing themselves on modern science is itself unscientific. So I think there's a big problem there. But the biggest problem in all this is, if this kind of voice comes from the political leadership, it stifles people's ability to respond. People are scared. And if you noted what happened during the Indian Science Congress, all the scientists gathered there, nobody could speak out. It required an NRI scientist living outside the country, who was outside the bounds of fear, to voice the concerns of the scientific community. And that, to me, is the biggest threat to science.
What would you say in response?
I would say, what is India 70 years old? The British drew a line and said this was India. If you look at from a mythical aspect, humanity was one race, and India, the influence of India was all the way up to Turkey in the ancient world. You know, we were closer. The Harappan civilization was probably closer to Sumer and to Egypt than it was to the current peninsula India. So what are we talking about? It's just to thump your chest and, you know, say that, you know, we knew more than somebody else. That's all it is about. It's mythology comes from a time when humanity was one race. It was not divided on nationalistic lines. No.
This is chest thumping, you're saying then?
Yes. But as it is to go to now go on this Mangalyaan trip. I mean, why do we need to go to Mars? Scientific advancement has to be nation specific. We have other problems. Our cities are over congested. We need to find ways of waste management. We are an agrarian based economy where our farmers are migrating. They're giving up their traditional sources of livelihood and occupation and moving to cities and being laborers. You know? So these are the things that I think advancement in science needs to answer, as opposed to going to Mars just because somebody else has been there.
A quick response, sir.
You can't confine science to national boundaries or geographical boundaries and say, I will do this kind of research because it will serve my country, but it may or may not be replicable outside. I think if we are doing science, we are pursuing the frontiers of knowledge. We will then look for applications of that in different areas.
Okay, we're pursuing the frontiers of knowledge. Let's go across to Dr. Karishma Narvani. She is the CEO of Ved Garba, who says the main objective is to make Samarth Bharat, which is a strong India, by using Uttam Santati, which is basically to have customized babies. Right, ma'am? Explain this to us. How does this work? But clearly, there's a lot of demand at your clinic. So people believe that this can actually work.
Actually, ये जो work है गर्भ संस्कार is our ancient science. Ayurveda has all our aspect for best progeny. So इसके actually three steps हैं, prenatal, natal and antenatal. तो prenatal stage में जो Ayurveda ने concept दिया, बीज भाग अवयव, इसको कैसे शुद्ध किया जाए, इसको कैसे इसमें मतलब फर्स्ट इज ए प्रोसीजर इज सेल्युलर क्लींजिंग. कि आयुर्वेद ने जो बताया कि फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल बॉडी क्लींजिंग, डिटॉक्सिफिकेशन ऑफ बॉडी, एंड देन व्हाट इज द डाइट फॉर
व्हाट इज द आउटकम ऑफ ऑल दिस. This is outcome, the methodology.
Outcome is there. कि this work is going on Gujarat. So in Surat, Gandhidham and Jamnagar, so outcome 4450 couples. Beneficiaries couple, so their child is physically good, immunity status is very good, and we also observing in the extra skill assets of there. One example, Hia Changani is my patient. So she is a national level, says she is only 7 year old. She is a national level skating champion. So because of
one out of 450 kids.
450 kids are there.
One child out of 450 is a national level champion.
National level of champion. So, बहुत child ऐसे हैं जिसमें ऐसे extra skills देखने मिल रहे हैं. हम उसमें observe कर रहे हैं कि उसका physical status बहुत अलग है, बहुत immunological status बहुत improve है, और कुछ extra skill भी उसमें इस तरह से develop देखने मिल रहे हैं.
This is based on Ayurvedic.
This is based on totally.
Does this come under Ayush?
Yes, yes.
Does this come under Ayush?
Not
Ayush. But is there a problem with the concept of wanting this special child? Because all children are special, right?
All children are special. So we also plan for everybody. I also journey for every state for there. Because awareness is not there.
Ma'am, do you think the fact that awareness is not there and people could succumb to what you're selling over here? The people, let's say people want children, it's the most precious thing we could have, and we would come to you and you're preying on this insecurity maybe?
हाँ, बिल्कुल. जो हमारे पास आते हैं, तो हम उनको convince करते हैं, this is a methodology for a best progeny, तो they all are...
कितना पैसा लेते हो आप इसके लिए?
करीबन preconceptional treatment is a body cleansing treatment is there, intrauterine, uttarbasti, panchkarma is there, for a female child. मतलब पूरा जो child का गिनो तो 50,000. 50,000 amount, preconceptional to antenatal care.
And this is spreading now from Gujarat across the country? Or?
Nationally.
And you have support from the state government?
No, this is a Garvigyan Anusandhan Kendra is a alag NGO hai. वो अपना ये रिसर्च का काम 14 सालों से कर रही है और उसे जो काम हो रहा है उसी तरह से ये
तो लास्ट क्वेश्चन ये जो आप कह रहे हैं जो आप डिस्क्राइब कर रहे हो कस्टमाइज्ड बेबी अ सर्टेन परफेक्ट चाइल्ड इट साउंड्स लाइक आई एम गेटिंग अ सेंस ऑफ डेजा वो कि ये जो जर्मनी में भी हुआ था ऐसे कुछ नहीं
एक्चुअली बताएं तो अगर मैं बात करूं कि हमारे पास ये जो साइंस है एक्चुअली आयुर्वेद के पास जो साइंस है ये तो हमारा अगर जर्मनी का हम देखेंगे जर्मनी क्या कितने सालों पुरानी है उसका अगर मैं बात करूं या ना करूं लेकिन हमारे पास जो था कि भाई अभिमन्यु ने जो चक्रव्यूह भेदन का ज्ञान है वो गर्भावस्था में सीखा था तो इट इज ए साइंस इट इज ए नॉट स्टोरी इट इज ए साइंस तो अगर हम चाहें कि ये हमारे पास कितना पुराना साइंस है तो इसी को लेकर हमें आगे बढ़ना है हमारे पास ये साइंस है बाकी तो जो भी कंट्री चाहे यूज कर सकती है एक वो अपने लिए लेकिन हम चाहें तो ये साइंस हमारे पास है ये भारत का साइंस है और भारत में ये दिया हुआ था कि कैसे हम बेबी को जीनियस ला सकते हैं बेस्ट प्रोजेनी कर सकते हैं और ऐसे एक्स्ट्रा स्किल डेवलप कर सकते हैं ये एक्चुअली बेसिकली भारत का विज्ञान है
सो दिस इज भारत विज्ञान would anyone like to respond
it is very well documented in our Ayurvedic text
by Aldous Huxley in his famous book called the new brave world the brave new world which he authored in 1926
okay
in which he speaks of a London hatchery which is doing some kind of a genetic management and people are you know the alphas and their epsilons and people are being created to perform certain functions it's kind of a genetic engineering
we can call
you
genetic
know, that is a very interesting book
what Dr. Karishma has mentioned
matter is there
this is something which is very well documented in the Ayurvedic text and there is no reason why we should not explore it prove it on the basis of current knowledge bring it to a pedestal, bring it to a legal, modern legal system. I want to give one more example on the same line. Turmeric and neem, they are also very well described in Ayurvedic text. More than 5,000-year-old text, they are described, their properties, their healing, using healing wounds, and so on and so forth. 1995, US company took a patent, which was contested by our government. And finally, we won. Now, point which I want to bring about is, you pick up any modern drug, there is one small drug which has a potential to cure a particular problem. Now, it earns a revenue of the order of $1 billion per annum. You can take any example, let us say Viagra. The revenue has in the past 13 years, the revenue has been of the order of about $25 billion. Now, suppose somebody else takes a patent on our traditional knowledge, what will happen? How much money we are losing? We are simply saying, okay, somebody said in the Science Congress, I think the half of the debate was there that why Prime Minister spoke about it. I am questioning if we don't work on our ancient traditional knowledge and let it be buried aside and then somebody else picks up and takes a patent and prohibits you from using it, what is going to happen? How much money we are going to
lose? We are out of time. Let's get audience reactions. Mr. Gupta is saying that what is the problem? Why are we dissing our ancient tradition? Why can't everything be open for research? Why don't we look into all of that? Ma'am, do people come to you asking for a boy child?
No.
Nobody has come to you asking for a boy child. They just want a bright child.
Uh-huh. Being a final year student, I have seen that there are some students who are having the scientific temperament minds, but they are not inclined towards it. The thing they want to do is get a job, feed their family and whatever.
Science is not a preferred career choice for the youth today. That is the problem of India today. Any more responses?
It's really shocking for me something like this is happening in my country. Apart from that, the scientific temperament in this country is obviously reducing. See, I come from JNU and I see what happened in BHU. The girls who questioned the notion of how you are treating girls in this country, with the way they were treated, you see all this. So we are scared. Obviously, the sciences are scared.
But why can't we invest into Ayurveda? I'm sure there are many who would say that Ayurveda has helped them.
Then you should choose.
Are we seriously the nation who can spend on the investigative research rather than the translational research? We really have got very, very, challenging situations in front of us, which we can really work upon, like the translational the cancer-like disease which is taking toll these days.
We're out of time. We need closing arguments.
But I must just say, it seemed to me as I was listening to people around me, as if India became independent only in the year 2014, and it's been just 3 years, and they want everything, all wrongs to be addressed in a matter of 3 years. You know, but for a few chest beaters, a very handful of them, who are very active on the social media and otherwise also in the media, but for them, things are happening. And education, coming back to education, our examination system provides you only with one right answer.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at the international baccalaureate and some better school systems, where it is not coming to the right answer, it's a question of the right process, the process of inquiry.
Yeah.
So therefore, our examination system, our schooling system, our university education, all need to be overhauled. And I can tell you, we're moving in that direction. It's got nothing to do with BJP or with the Congress. Congress did the best that it could. BJP is doing what the country needs. You can be rest assured.
All that we expect this government to do is, please don't undo all the work done in the past by every single Indian. Don't undermine that. Of course, I agree with him. Everything is hunky-dory. Bagon mein bahar hai. Ramdev ke paas jaiye, putr ho jayega. Aur achha putr chahiye toh. Dr. Saab hai, the kind lady here. She'll do the best she can for a very special child. So, if this is what the new India is, God help this country.
Rajiv, this is new India. The Prime Minister says by 2022, we'll be a global power when it comes to research and development and technology. Do you agree? Respond.
I don't know if we should be worried about being a global power as opposed to you know, writing a few of the basic problems that we're still carrying on. We have, and about babies, right now we're overpopulated. The last thing this country needs is more babies. But on a more serious note, I think we should look at, you know, marrying technology with our ancient culture and trying to work out a better tomorrow, as opposed to global
superpower. Mr. Raghunandan, can't there be a marriage between ancient culture and science and technology? Why can't there be a marriage?
Yeah,
a happy marriage?
Yes, there is absolutely no reason why they can't. A civilization moves forward on the basis of what the civilizational foundations are, and you build on that. But when we are talking about science, then our foundations should also be rooted in science. And some of the examples I've heard being discussed today put forward the idea that any idea can be considered as science. The Ayurveda example we just heard, for example, today in scientific research, when talk of genetic manipulation is there, the biggest concern in the scientific community is, should we go ahead with such an investigation or not? There are major ethical concerns involved. I didn't hear any of that in the discussion saying, well, this is scientific, it's rooted in ancient knowledge, let's just go ahead and create super babies. Somebody spoke of Aldous Huxley. I think there was somebody in Germany in the mid-30s to 40s who also had very similar ideas.
Well, I did bring that
about
up.
Creating super babies.
Mengele.
You know, and that was not particular. And that is not particularly a scientifically rooted idea. But the educational system needs reform, which cannot be achieved by rewriting textbooks according to a preconceived ideology. Critical thinking needs to be cultivated. I'm afraid that all the tall promises we have heard about India becoming a superpower, regional power, a great scientific nation by 2022, I don't see the foundations for that being laid in any of these avenues.
Okay, Mr. Gupta, your closing argument, not all ideas can be invested in, and ideas have to have a foundation in science.
Definitely, ideas have to have some foundation.
In science?
In science. Our country is not short of resources. We are short of intentions. If the intentions are good, yes, we can do it.
All right. Closing argument, Shiv.
If you begin with Modi's statement that India is going to be a global power, I think that's bad science. It's in fact bad astrology. Because you've got to have the question of, are we a global power in terms of defense? Are we a global power in terms of the crisis of agriculture? Are we a global power in terms of the crisis of the university system? I think let's drop Modi. First, there is a wider framework for this discussion which doesn't need all these false dualisms.
Yeah.
We have always been open to Ayurveda. We've been open to all kinds of medical systems. The dialogue of medical systems was worked out brilliantly in 1923 by Srinivas Murthy. You don't need an idiot like Ramdev to give you bad epistemology. Yes. It's worked out. It's plural. There's scholarship in it. Second, you can't just say, invoke the name of Kasturirangan and think that you're going to get good science. Because then you have to do it. You have to open up the Kasturirangan Madhav Gadgil debates on the Western yes. Ghats. There is two models of development. Your model of science would have been much more open if you had opened it out to debate. Science is fun.
Science
modern
is fun,
states don't understand fun and playfulness and curiosity.
I
don't
think
want a certificate
that is a good note
from Narendra
that we can
Modi.
End on, and let's
I
all agree
one
on one thing,
my
Shiv.
Teacher.
Which is, let's all agree on one thing, as Shiv pointed out, we all need to be open to debate. That's it on We the People. We hope to be open to debate. We think it's important to speak up for what you believe in, but also important to listen. Until next time, bye-bye and thank you. Thank you for joining us.